it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
LoveRacing.nz update. Your home for everything thoroughbred racing. Visit LoveRacing.nz, racing's biggest fan.
And on a Monday, we love to catch up with New Zealand's number one caller in the game, and that, of course, is George Simon, who principally calls out of the north. There was racing there at Matamata over the weekend. But, George, good morning to you. The first thing I'd like to talk to you about is the passing of one of the great men of New Zealand racing, who set so many high standards about the game itself. And he was one of the group of the older trainers who really did establish themselves and had people had great respect for them. And now I'm talking, of course, of Dave O'Sullivan, the boss of a very, very proud New Zealand racing dynasty, has gone at the age of 90. What a contribution.
Absolutely, Smithy. Good morning to you. It was with great deal of sadness that the racing industry learnt of Dave O'Sullivan's passing last Friday afternoon. And coincidentally, there was a local race meeting on at that stage, and the news filtered through, and it wasn't totally unexpected. His health had deteriorated in recent times, but he had a wonderful life, did Dave O'Sullivan, passing away at age 90. He'd done it all in the racing game over many, many years. I remember when I first started as an aspiring race caller way back in the day, over 40 years ago now, and I was introduced to Dave O'Sullivan. He was a legend then, in my eyes. So you can imagine with the success that he had in the intervening years that he had was just amazing to know him. He was a mentor and an inspiration to many people in the racing game over many years. Obviously, when we talk about Dave O'Sullivan, we talk about the O'Sullivan family. His son, Paul, trained in partnership with him, of course, for many years, very successfully too. And, of course, along came Lance. And we all saw what Lanny did in his wonderful riding career. But it all started with Dave O'Sullivan and his late wife, Mari. And he left the dynasty and records that will take forever to be broken. He was just an amazing gentleman of the turf. He trained 1,877 winners in his career. He retired in 1998. He started in 1961. And, of course, one of the real highlights of his training career was the 1989 Japan Cup won by Horlicks.
Yeah.
At that stage, the Japan Cup was the world's richest horse race. And little old Kiwis went across to the other side of the world, took their mare with them, and trained her up to beat some of the world's best dayers in one of the world's fastest run 2,400-meter races. It was an incredible performance and lives long in the annals of New Zealand racing history. And no doubt he'll be sadly missed.
He will be sadly missed, and I believe the tribute to him will be this Thursday, and I think the Matamata race course might be involved in that in some way, George, as well. That's what I'm hearing. And, of course, let's not forget either our Waverley star Bone Crusher. Of course, he was second on that occasion, but along with Frank Ritchie, didn't they own that day?
Yeah, they certainly did. Yeah, and you're right, too. It is... we'll get all our opportunity to farewell him in the manner that befits a man of his status in the industry on Thursday morning at Matamata. And after the church ceremony, there will be a function at Matamata Racecourse. And I'm sure the family would like to see as many people there as possible. You mentioned Waverley Star, the Waverley Star Bone Crusher Cox Plate, the race of the century. They ran second on that occasion, but of course, they still retained the respect of the entire racing industry, the way that they handled themselves after such a fantastic race. We go back to, they went back and won the Cox Plate, of course, with Surfers Paradise. They had horses like Chivalry, Blue Denim, Golden Rhapsody, Miltac, and probably my favourite, we mentioned Horlicks earlier, obviously, Probably my favourite O'Sullivan-trained horse was a horse called Mr. Tiz Smithy. He was, I had the absolute privilege and honour of calling some of these horses, Surfers Paradise, Waverly Star, Mr. Tiz in particular. I reckon he was the best horse that, in my humble opinion, that Dave O'Sullivan ever trained. I haven't got it on personal authority. I know he always mentioned him in the, when he was asked that hairy question of, you know, which are the best horses, which is the best horse he trained. He was always featured prominently in discussions, Mr. Tiz. I called him to win a few races, and honestly, it was the biggest certainty of all time when he lined up. You just knew he was too good for them, and he would deliver. He was just an incredible, incredible racehorse.
He was, and from memory, I think when they retired Mr. Tiz, they put him in the front paddock at Wexford. And I remember doing a story on, it was on Lance actually, but we got to talk to Dave, of course, as part of it. You couldn't leave him out of the story. And he took us to Mr. Tiz, who was in the front paddock, and the horse just came over to him, and it was just such a cool thing to see. George, we can't deny racing over the weekend, of course, because it goes on, and there was, you called the first, and had it was basically a tribute race for Dave O'Sullivan, and you gave him, which was quite uncanny actually, but it worked, because, you know, when something's missing, you're just so used to something, and all of a sudden you get through a little bit of silence, you think to yourself, wow, it was only, you know, a matter of seconds, but the tribute race was cool, and there was some pretty romantic stuff about the winner too.
Yeah, exactly. That was I'd love to take all the credit, but it was the idea of Butch Castles, actually. Smithy, he mentioned, I was talking to Butcher about an hour before the first race, and he never said anything until the horses were going out on the track on their way to the start, and only a couple of minutes before the start, and he rang me up in the commentary box. He said, I've come up with an idea. It's up to you if you want to do it or not. And that idea is to have a moment's silence during the running of the first race at Te Rapa in respect of the late Dave O'Sullivan. Thought about it. Anyway, we did it. It seemed to have come off. I think people, their ears pricked up when there was a silence. I called for a moment's silence halfway through the race. And, of course, the most incredible thing was the horse that won, Tom Adachi, is a very, very promising, fully by Tarzino, owned by Sir Peter Vella, the races in his colours, but, of course, was trained by Lance O'Sullivan and Andrew Scott, and they really had tugged on the heartstrings when Tom Adachi won. She's a filly that's going to go places in a hurry. That was her third successive win in a row in a very light career to date. But, yeah, as I think I mentioned that, as they were pulling up, I think I said that I reckon someone was looking down from above guiding Tomodachi home. So, yeah, it was a real special moment.
It's just so uncanny the way it played out. You sometimes wonder, don't you? The Cambridge Breeders, the Travis and the Manco all were contested at the weekend as well. George, in that apostrophe, looks pretty special.
Yeah, look, she's capped off her career because there's rumours going around that there could be her last race day appearance. She's getting on in age now. She's owned by a gentleman who has been a long-time breeder and a long-time supporter of the Roger Jones, Robert Wellwood team. And she went out $1.60 favourite. It was the hardest watch on $1.60 favourite I reckon I've ever seen, because halfway down the home straight, she was not going to win. 100 metres out, she wasn't going to win. She got up in the very last stride in the hands of Masahashi Sumi. And, much to the delight and the relief of the punters who installed her $1.60 favourite. She was a $60,000 yearling purchase by Roger Jones at the Karaki yearling sales. And she ended up winning in excess of $314,000 in her career. As I say, that possibly was our last look at her on a race day, but what a way to go out with winning the Travis Stakes. You mentioned the Cambridge Breeder Stakes. Once again, Wexford Stables, Lance O'Sullivan and Andrew Scott were at it again with I'm Unstoppable, led all the way in the hands of Sam Spratt. Caused a bit of an upset, but one in a manner that suggests that was no fluke and it will probably go on and win a few more races too, I'm Unstoppable. And after a week's delay, we finally saw the Manco Easter Handicap. It was worth waiting for because I thought the win of Snazzy Tabby in the Manco Easter, Smithy, was sensational. She's a mare by Tavistock that's got so much upside. The best thing, her biggest attribute, I believe, is her amazing turn of foot. And we saw that joined them at about the 250 metres, and she raced away, trained by Graham Richardson and Rogan Norville, whose team is absolutely on fire at the minute, owned by Brendan and Joe Lindsay, of course, from Cambridge Stud, and was ridden by Warren Kennedy, the Wizard of Oz. That was his fourth winning ride for the afternoon, so he is flying the premiership leading jockey at the moment. I think he's ridden the most black type winners in the season as well. So having a wonderful year is Warren Kennedy. Just to keep it all in perspective, though, he did cop a suspension, I see, after that race, after riding four winners during the day. But, yeah, no, he's riding well, and it was fantastic to see. Snazzy Tabby, I'm sure we'll see more wins from her in the future.
Just before we let you go, George, there was racing in Morphettville as well, but I'm more concerned about your beloved Warriors. Are you concerned about them?
I was glad you forgot to mention that last week, because I was really concerned. Look, I'm glad they got the bye this week. I think they need it, but they'll bounce back. It's a tough competition, the NRL, and they're still being talked up as premiership contenders, but they need to win the games that they are expected to win. Just they've been flat in the last two or three starts, and I think they'll get back. Just before I go, T. Smitty, congratulations to James McDonald last night overnight in Hong Kong. Picked up another Group 1 win for the season with Romantic Warrior. I saw the race. Yes. And it was just could not believe the horse won. He was going nowhere in a hurry at the 600 metres. Even the mighty Jay Mack was stunned by the winning performance by Romantic Warrior last night. It was James's 14th Group 1 win for the season, his 97th Group 1 career win. So he's closing in on that. And, of course, we've got Opie Boston sitting on 98. So the race to 100 Group 1 wins between those two. Possibly at this stage favouring James McDonald to get there first.
George Simon, great to catch up with you, mate. Thank you for your time. That tribute to Dave O'Sullivan as well. No one could have done that better. So cheers. Have a terrific week, mate. Thank you.
All the best. Cheers, Smitty. Thank you.
Yeah, cheers. George Simon there reviewing the racing season. Great tribute there to a legend who has been lost to the industry in Dave O'Sullivan. 10:36.